Hi, I'm Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and welcome to another episode of my Police Promotion and Leadership podcast, giving you CPD on the go wherever you may be listening. This podcast is about the topic, the nature of well-being in policing, and the inspiration for it was the recent, publishing of the Police Scotland HMIC report into well-being in policing in Police Scotland. And although it's about Police Scotland, I wanted to bring it into the context of promotion, well-being cuts across countries' borders. So certainly the well-being Oscar Kilo survey, the recent statement in the Met, about 29%, I think, of officers in expressing an intention to leave, and looking at some of the factors behind that. Well, this has been done quite strongly in Police Scotland by HMIC for Police Scotland, and they've come up with a report which I think, taken together with the Oscar Kilo survey, where 40,000 respondents in policing responded, we can arrive at a position where we can say, well, let's have a conversation, let's think about well-being, let's look at what's being done across the UK, if you like, to support officers in relation to well-being. Some of the differences, the broad parameters in, you know, shocking areas that beggar belief in terms and conditions, or the environment in which officers operate, such as, you know, putting towels on windows to stop the water coming in and collecting it in police stations in buckets. Yep. That's featured in the Police Scotland report, but also some of the recommendations that are there to put things in a better place, to move things forward, and for you to start thinking as an aspiring leader and candidate for promotion, what you're going to do, what's your contribution going to be to this. And as I say, reading through these reports will be helpful to you in terms of picking up some insights, some aha moments into processes, into the approaches by forces and the policies and strategies that are adopted to help make things better, which is essential, therefore, to support a better public service. So that's what my podcast is about. I hope you find it interesting. But if you've got something interesting to say on policing, promotion or leadership, get in touch to arrange an interview. I'm happy to share my platform if you've got a story to tell, either by writing a guest blog post, which can be anonymous if you wish, or you can record a verbal message to feature as a guest podcast. I'm always happy to share my platform to promote a diverse range of perspectives in policing whilst creating informative content for you. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. For info, in a moment I'll be giving you a quick overview of the support that Rank Success offers aspiring cops and the benefits of becoming a podcast subscriber, and then we'll get straight into the episode, and you can let me know your views in the Q&A on the podcast notes. At Rank Success, I'm committed to giving you the best police leadership development, levelling the playing field of promotion, whatever your budget and wherever you are. I invite you to explore my free blogs at policepromotion.blog and videos on my YouTube channel. There's topical police news, salary information, deep dives into diversity, CVF explainers, explanations of promotion assessments, and various aspects covering your police leadership and ongoing CPD. All this content will firstly help you become a better police leader, and then secondly, succeed in your promotion process. To go further, you might consider becoming a subscriber of my podcast. Not only will you be supporting the free content I create for others, but for just $4.99 a month, you'll also get extra subscriber-only episodes. You'll be the first to access all new episodes and have access to the best of my back catalogue, whilst also getting an exclusive 25% discount on my market-leading promotion materials. There's no commitment, and you can cancel any time. Want to smash your promotion with tried and tested prep? If you've got an upcoming board or you just want to get ahead of the competition now, consider my structured, succinct and rank-specific toolkits. These help focus your effort on the right things, including examples of what good evidence looks like, explainers of the CVF, plus a myriad of other essential content to help you achieve your aspiration. Others have described these materials as a godsend, like gold dust, helping to tame the monsters in your mind, and have even stated there's nothing else like it. See countless more testimonials on my website from successful cops who took action and got in touch. There's e-guides, my professional recorded masterclass video, plus my in-depth CVF explainer video, or indeed special bundle offers on everything. Or come join me for an all-inclusive day on my next in-person promotion masterclass. All this and more is available from my main website at ranksuccess.co.uk, and the return on investment will come in your first month's salary increase alone. So that's an overview of what I can do for you, and without further ado, let's get into today's podcast. Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and this podcast is on the topic of well-being. And this particular episode was prompted by a recent report, really recent, by HMIC, the Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary in Scotland, which conducted a well-being report in relation to frontline policing and well-being taking a toll on the Police Scotland workforce. Well, although it's a Police Scotland approach and a Police Scotland inspection, and it relates to effectively another country, it relates to policing in general. And I have also done previous podcasts in relation to this. So I've summarised in a podcast the recent Oscar Kilo Police Wellbeing report in and summary in the UK, or sorry, in England and Wales. And that was a report, a sort of well-being survey conducted in 2023, where 40,000 responses were received from people in policing, which means it's hard for people to comfortably ignore or do anything about. And so this report that came from or has been published by HMIC for Scotland essentially found that low levels of resources are significantly affecting absence levels and work-related stress and job satisfaction for those on the front line, with little recognition from the force or its leaders about the detrimental effect that these shortages, coupled with poor facilities, are having on officers and staff. So that's a quick summary of it. I'm going to have a quick look through the inspection here, some of the key findings and the recommendations. And I just thought that the zeitgeist around this well-being and what well-being is. So let's have a look at what well-being is first, just to set the context, because although I'm looking at and talking about and sharing with you some views and some insights, some opinions around this, it's early on. It's a massive report. I would argue it's arguably a damning report into the state of well-being. But there is also, as usual, nothing is black and white in that way. There is some hope for optimism and improvements as a result of this HMIC Police Scotland report. So let's have a look at what well-being means first. Well-being encompasses a number of factors, and it's understood to be defined as how people feel and function on a number of levels. So recent research has focused on the psychological well-being, the resilience and the mental health of police officers, but well-being also encompasses physical, social and financial factors. And you can see a mix and match of that going on now with, I think I tweeted and shared a report from London, from the Met, where it's reported yesterday or this morning that 29% of officers intend to leave the police service. So when we talk about that combination, you know, well-being encompassing physical, social and financial factors and mental health of officers, and you look at that, 29% intend to leave, you know, it's on the horizon. It's the elephant in the room. And I know there's lots of elephants in the room with policing, but currently when you look at England and the Oscar Kilo survey, and then you look at this report from HMIC Scotland, this is a big elephant in the room. So let's have a quick look at what they found in a quick summary. I'll have a quick hop, skip and a jump through it to start with, and then I'll look at a couple of other issues. So Police Scotland need to develop a cohesive well-being strategy that addresses what really impacts on the physical and mental health of their officers and staff. HM Inspectorate of Constabulary in Scotland carried out this review of well-being provision in Police Scotland and focused on those officers and staff delivering a frontline service. And it found that whilst the organisation was good at supporting officers at points of crisis, it failed to recognise in any of its well-being initiatives the key areas that staff said took the biggest toll. So clearly alluding to a disconnect there between what the force is trying to do and what the officers are experiencing. So resource levels and police stations being in a poor state were amongst issues repeatedly highlighted by officers and staff as affecting their well-being. Rest days were being disrupted, and difficulty in securing time off were also cited as major areas of strain, perhaps understandably. So, when you get your rest day scheduled and you don't get a chance to get them off, I mean, I know it's the nature of policing, we all know that, but the point being is if you've got rest days and they are repeatedly interfered with, disrupted, disjointed, then the impact is felt, not just by the officer themselves, but the knock-on through their family and that aspect of well-being. And that difficulty in trying to secure time off, and you know that within policing, it's difficult, that you sign up to expectations that you may well miss. Your children's birthday, you may not be able to get to sports day, you may not be able to get to that Christmas pantomime or that other school show. It's part of policing and we know that, but when there's a build-up of that and the pressures on policing and the resources and you need to have your days cancelled or changed again and again and again. So recently, obviously, with the protests in London, I'm bouncing between Police Scotland. Although this is primarily and predominantly about Police Scotland, the issue of well-being in policing is right there, right in front of everybody's eyes. So I think it's a very useful report to have a look at. I highly recommend anybody to read through this report and to just look at how police officers and staff are being treated. Because that's what we're talking about, how the organisation chooses to treat them and whether that organisation is effective and efficient in how it does that and its policies and its structures and its mechanisms and systems and procedures on something which, on one hand, is stunningly simple concept. How are you looking after people? How are you looking after their well-being? And what processes have you got in place? And then you overlay that with the fact that policing is complex, shift systems, balancing resources and balancing budgets cuts across all of that. And as I've alluded to in some of my other blogs on policepromotion.blog, how do senior leaders operate in the grey? How does anybody operate in the grey? That uncertainty and what I term or often include encourage officers to think about, particularly when they're going for promotion, that you're operating in a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. So, yes, whilst this is an elephant in the room, stunningly simple concept, how are you helping and supporting officers? What have you got in place, and where could you do better? Are essentially simple questions. I'm directing this in another sense, really, at you listening to this as an aspiring promotion candidate, because that is the zeitgeist. That's what's happening. This is the situation today, as you can read it in black and white in HMIC reports and in England, Wales, in the Oscar Kilo survey that was in 2023. So all of this is current, relevant, topical, and if we link this back to the CVF, it's very relevant in relation to emotionally aware and in relation to taking ownership and supporting your team. So if you cut across some of the levels there, sergeants, one of the functions and dimensions of a sergeant's role is supporting their staff and having those one-to-one conversations and well-being and welfare being that essential fundamental aspect of the role and the responsibility. One of the most important aspects of the supervisory role. So that's where we nail our colours to the mast, what this is about. And some of the recommendations, which I'll come on to in a minute, are about ensuring not only that supervisors get the training they need, but also that there is more of a one-to-one and more of a supportive approach from that level, from that first supervisory level to the teams in the work that they're doing. So if I go back to, I've talked about the rest days being disrupted, which is alluded to in the report, and the difficulty in securing time off. And I know that's experienced across policing, across, you know, the whole of the UK, no doubt, because you hear about it in the Garda and in Ireland, but you also hear about it in PSNI, you know, Scotland, England, Wales, and it's an issue that cuts through policing, and those pressures will vary from time to time. But this particular inspection in Scotland found examples, so you're linking this to well-being factors, of dilapidated police buildings with holes in the roof, water running down the walls, and staff collecting that water in buckets and stemming the flow coming through the windowsills with towels, and barely functioning furniture. So, I mean, I'll leave you to picture that and imagine that in your mind. This is British policing in the 21st century. You probably wouldn't get those conditions in any other private environment. And so when you look at building an environment in which people can, you know, innovate, thrive and excel and come to work and have a environment where you can get the best out of them, that's not a good start. There is, to be fair, a contrast in the report between one of the better buildings, one of the headquarters buildings, where it's a modern building, etc. So, but there's lots of buildings in Scotland, and that is the parameters between the standards. So inspectors, HMIC inspectors, heard repeated evidence that such organisational causes of stress had the most severe impact on frontline officers and staff, with many left feeling unsafe and unable to provide the service that they want to give. So there's the knock on the impact on service. And despite all of this, HMIC Scotland found no recognition or reference to these areas of significant stress in any of the work currently being undertaken by Police Scotland in relation to well-being. And I'll read that again. Despite this, HMIC found no recognition or reference to these areas of significant stress in any of the work currently being undertaken by Police Scotland in relation to well-being. So you might sit there and you might be thinking, well, how has it ever got to this stage? How can that be in modern policing? Well, it is, and I'm reading from it now. So the HMIC Chief Inspector of Constabulary in Scotland, Mr. Craig Naylor, said that the Frontline Focus Wellbeing Report aims to draw attention to the concerns raised and highlight that those most in need of wellbeing support were often those with the least time or opportunity to seek it out. So alluding to busy cops and police staff who haven't even got time to point these issues out. But when the HMIC pick up on it, they have a thematic inspection like this and dive into it. There's a little bit more time provided, and you can start uncovering what's going on under the surface that's impacting essentially on what's, you know, the whole raison d'etre, which is providing a public to the service, providing a service to the public, sorry, and that officers need to be well, if you like, to be able to deliver that service on a number of aspects and angles. So Mr. Naylor said that police officers and staff support communities during their times of need, witnessing trauma, distress and acts of violence on a daily basis. So yes, Police Scotland, but you can extrapolate that across the whole of policing in the UK. They are exposed to incidents and experiences that most people will not see in their lifetime. And they do this willingly, often running towards danger as others run away. So there's no taking your foot off the accelerator with this report. As I said, I've alluded to the fact it's pretty damning. And the only issue really is going forward is what's going to be done about it. And there are some recommendations. So hopefully this will be dealt with the seriousness it deserves, and some kind of meaningful action taken. So HMIC have heard mixed views on whether wellbeing was seen as an organisational priority. So mixed views. HMIC say it's essential that officers and staff are looked after before and if they become unwell, so that they continue they can continue to deliver this service to the people of Scotland. So many frontline officers and staff had only a vague awareness of wellbeing services provided by their own force, Police Scotland, and the inspectors at HMIC found support provided by line managers to be inconsistent due to a lack of training. So if you're listening to this, you are a line manager or an aspiring line manager in Police Scotland or anywhere else, tune into this, get your antennae tuned into this, because this is going to be a huge factor in policing. Not that it already isn't, it's going to be a huge one. So don't be surprised if you start getting questions on promotion boards, scenarios on promotion boards, and work projects and opportunities to get involved in this, because it is the elephant in the room. It's something that needs to be put right now, if it's wrong, and improved, and if you like, a world-class wellbeing support service offered to all officers. That should be the aspiration, if you like. At every level of the organisation, inspectors heard that resource levels on the front line were impacting on absence, work-related stress and job satisfaction, leading to officers and staff trying to find roles away from frontline policing, where they have improved physical working conditions and where they're not routinely required to attend court or work at events on what was supposed to be their rest days. Mr. Naylor said that many of those frontline officers and staff we spoke to indicated they felt that current staffing levels in their areas left them feeling vulnerable and at times unsafe. So, I mean, just expanding on that, you know, the age-old issue of single crewing, having enough officers on duty to cover a patch. And we've all heard horrendous stories about the fact there's sometimes two, three or four officers covering, you know, towns, cities. And there's enough people listening to this can provide examples of that. But when officers, the impact of that is that officers feel vulnerable and they at times feel unsafe. You know, what's going on? What's going on? Yes, policing's tough. Yes, it's difficult. But, you know, when you've got officers feeling vulnerable and safe when they come to work, you know, there need to be questions asked about how that can be mitigated. We heard consistently that more needs to be done to ensure the pressure associated with the dynamic and demanding nature of policing does not disproportionately impact the front line, and that the load should be more evenly shared. I mean, that seems to be a straightforward statement, but I'm not sure what the answer to that is. You know, more needs to be done to ensure the pressure associated with the dynamic and demanding nature of policing does not disproportionately impact the front line, and that the load should be more evenly shared. Well, it does disproportionately impact the front line. You know, response policing is disproportionately impacted, and that's a statement, and you know, it's one that can be argued, but essentially it is the front line that bears the brunt, if you like, of day-to-day contact and pressures, and how well-being can be damaged and impacted by force policies and the pressures that are associated with it. So another observation here, resource levels also impact on time away from work, with the cancellation of rest days disrupting the quality of recovery time, and officers and staff reporting difficulties in trying to re-roster their days off. So this adds up, this builds up to this pressure and the demands. And you don't need to be sat there or stood there or walking your dog listening to this. You know this. And so pointing out these issues is something these reports often do. What's not there is the solution, which is, you know, more people. And Police Scotland is at its, I think I read it's at its lowest ever, or approaching its lowest ever, resourcing in terms of staff and numbers. The budgets have been massively impacted. So when I say about being complex and ambiguous in policing, well, you know, point out these issues, stay within budget, but improve things. So now we're getting into some of the topical areas where, you know, as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor, you have to try and bring some clarity and bring your skill set, your knowledge, your experiences to bear on this, and to make a contribution and to help with this. And if you're aspiring to promotion, then, you know, start doing that thinking now. What will you do? How will you do it? And how can you become involved in doing this for the greater good, shall we say, to use that term? Another comment in here is, compounding this problem was the requirement to attend court, often on rest days, with officers and staff only being required to give evidence on a very small number of occasions, adding to feelings of frustration. Well, I'm not quite sure what can be done with that. I know technology has allowed officers in other areas to attend court at short notice, but this requirement to attend court is made by the courts, and officers have to obviously attend. But some slick management around that and forecasting can improve and does improve it in other areas. But essentially, at the end of the day, you're there to provide evidence and to have evidence tested in the courts. So I'm not exactly sure what can be done around that, other than a slicker management, as has been done in other forces elsewhere. And I appreciate, you know, not all technology can reach all areas. And Police Scotland is a vast area, including lots of rural communities and areas. But the report also found dramatic contrasts around the country when it came to physical environments where police staff and officers work. And Mr. Naylor said, he's quoted as saying, it tended to be those offices and stations where frontline officers and staff work that inspectors noted the worst conditions. And the report called on Police Scotland to ensure that their estates strategy promotes parity and that an appropriate standard of facilities is provided across the country. So that's a big ask, isn't it? It's a bit of a variance there, but the impact is mostly on frontline officers, and where frontline officers and staff work, that's where the worst conditions are. And they're asking for that to be repaired across the country. And the HMIC inspection also contained 7 recommendations, which were designed to enable Police Scotland to improve wellbeing provision, including calling on the organisation to introduce wellbeing impact assessments when developing new and existing policies and procedures. And the Chief HMIC, Mr. Naylor, welcomed the recent announcement by the Police Scotland Chief Constable, Joe Farrell, to focus less on overall numbers and more on prioritising what should be done, including working collaboratively with other services to reduce inappropriate demand on officers and staff. Mr. Naylor has said that such a focus should help ease the pressure of expecting the front line to do more with less. And then finishes, the challenge remains, of course, for policing to live within its budget whilst delivering a high quality of service and protecting the well-being of the staff and officers. So that challenge for policing to live within its budget whilst delivering a high quality of service and protecting the well-being of staff and officers is something that, if you are an aspiring promotion candidate, is a challenge that you should be aware of now, if you weren't already, and attuned to, and start to develop some ideas around how you can make a meaningful contribution at the appropriate level of the organisation where you are. So as I alluded to earlier on, if you aspire to be a sergeant, a first line manager, a supervisor, and to start, you know, putting together your leadership skills and supporting a team, it starts there, and you know, welfare and well-being is a key part, a key function of the sergeant's role. So I just wanted to kind of come back to, I said I'd go through some of the inspections, some of the key findings and the recommendations. That was a quick overview around it. And as I say, now shrinking into the context of going for promotion, I'm still going to go through some of the aspects of this. But I do have a blog, policepromotion.blog, where I have done published bespoke blogs for Police Scotland promotion candidates, focusing around the CVF, focusing around the process and the selection methods for candidates. So support material there. As I say, I've also done a recent podcast about well-being, and there's a blog about well-being in relation to the Oscar Kilo, so the well-being survey key points from Oscar Kilo in England. That's the one that had 40,000 respondents. And just to summarise some of those points in those blogs and those podcasts, there's definitely, you know, it's the same ground, the same issues, even though they're different forces, but bringing this back to you as a promotion candidate, you know, get savvy with this. The Police Scotland report, the Oscar Kilo report, are fantastic documents. They provide lots of insights and aha moments for you to start raising your awareness and also building your confidence around talking about these issues from a perspective of being on the front foot, verbally proactive, so that you can reassure and persuade leaders that you have got that energy and that drive to bring to the role of Sergeant Inspector, Chief Inspector, because that's the energy they need clearly from these issues, and they may well want to know through specific bespoke questions what your thoughts are around this, around well-being in policing, and in the role that you're going for, what expectations do you have of yourself to start improving and moving things forward, and yeah, how do you propose to do that? And what are you already doing? What have you already done? What evidence or examples have you already got that you can talk about and to reassure and persuade the board that you will do that when you are promoted? So I'm coming back now to a summary from the inspection of the report. So the initial aspect of the report. And it starts off with some really interesting observations. I quite like some of the language that's used here. And taken together, that's why I encourage you to read both the Oscar Kilo Wellbeing Survey and its findings and its recommendations or observations, along with this particular HMIC Scotland report, is because together you will pull out your own overall understanding and views and insights about this, and bring it back into the context of you as a manager, as a leader, as a supervisor, leading a team, and aware of what your responsibilities are and the expectations of you in that role. So it starts off with that policing is delivered by people for people. And you will know that, you know, policing, people are the most valuable asset. It can be a cliche, but they are. They're the people you work with. They are your colleagues. And your friends and your staff and your teams. So policing is delivered by people for people. Officers and staff support communities during crisis, witnessing trauma, distress and acts of violence on a daily basis. They're exposed to incidents and experiences that most people will not see or experience in their lifetime, and they do this willingly, often running towards danger as others run away. And there's countless examples of that happening. It's essential that officers and staff are looked after so that they can continue to deliver this service to the public. Now, the purpose of Police Scotland, it says here, is to improve the safety and well-being of people, places and communities in Scotland. And outcome 4 of their joint strategy for policing states that our people are supported through a positive working environment, enabling them to serve the public. So in the context of this report, you might question, well, are people being supported enough in a positive working environment, sufficient to enable them to serve the public? So whilst that's the question to be asked in relation to Police Scotland, it's also one that any team leader, manager or supervisor can be asking. Am I doing what I can to create a positive working environment? So I mean, I'd encourage you to start thinking about what is a positive working environment. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? So that's just some coaching aspirations injected into that and some coaching perspectives. And of course, the name of the game is essentially to serve the public. But from your perspective, it's about creating, supporting, enabling and facilitating that positive working environment. Yes, on your team, but also collectively and collaboratively with others. So to achieve this outcome, Police Scotland has committed to prioritising well-being and keeping its people safe, well-equipped and protected. So that's the kind of statement that's put there in the front. But actually, from what you hear from the report, you can ask yourself questions. So, well, is that actually happening? And on a broad scale, it may well be. But it's the actual individual examples that cut through this and make people sit up and take notice and question whether it's actually happening comprehensively and consistently for everyone. So it says here, the force is focused on engaging with those on the front line across different geographical and business areas who deliver services to the public 24/7, 365 days a year. And during our inspection, it was clear from conversations with officers and staff that a light touch approach was not sufficient and that we, HMIC, needed to do more to reflect their views. We do intend to produce shorter reports on future subjects, but in this instance, we recognise that the well-being of officers and staff deserved more. And as a result, this report maintains the focus on the front line, but in more depth than initially intended. This report draws attention to the concerns raised, highlighting the disconnect felt between the factors which negatively impact on well-being and current well-being provisions. We learned from research and subject matter experts that most people will be well most of the time. It's generally accepted that trauma, distress, and other negative operational experiences are expected by officers and staff and are accepted by them as part of the role. However, it is essential that when trauma is experienced, there is a supportive environment around them to aid recovery. And where this support is absent, what would be generally accepted becomes more difficult. And we were repeatedly told about the impact of resourcing, how the reduced numbers of officers and staff on the front line was significantly affecting absence levels, work-related stress, and job satisfaction. And this was compounded further by the inability to take that time off, rest days being disrupted, impacting on recovery time with family and friends, and feeling generally unsupported by leadership and the wider organisation. So these things compound together to have this impact on staff, on people, and that's why these policies, this subject, this topic of well-being is important. A key element of what we were told was that there was a lack of understanding or acknowledgement of these difficulties in the workplace, and that well-being provision, although welcomed, did not respond to or mitigate these factors. And Police Scotland is making significant efforts and has initiatives in place to address well-being, but such initiatives are whilst often laudable, and we're not in any way dismissing them, says HMIC. Such efforts will have impact on those who take them up. However, it's often the ones who need the help the most who described to us the significant stresses and stressors they are under, and they don't have the time or capacity to look for well-being support since they're struggling to complete daily tasks on time without incurring overtime. And I think there's probably a lot of cops that would sit back and recognise that and understand that's the environment, that's the context within which they may be operating, but they may be fortunate to have more in the way of well-being support. So this report says that there needs to be a more fundamental understanding of what is causing difficulty and how this can be addressed. And, you know, we welcome, the report says, the recent announcement of the Chief Constable in seeking to focus less on officer numbers, but they've got the lowest officer numbers ever, I think, and more on prioritising what should be done by police officers, working collaboratively with other services to reduce inappropriate demand on officers and staff. Such a focus should help ease the pressure of expecting the front line to do more with less. The challenge remains, of course, for policing to live within its budget. So it says here, at the end, the value and importance of the front line must be recognised and acknowledged, accepting that demand is relentless, resources finite, and then taking steps to balance those competing claims. And that is the context. Stepping outside the well-being side of it, there's a general thing there. If you're a promotion candidate, the value and importance of the frontline must be recognised and acknowledged, accepting demand is relentless, resources finite, and taking steps to balance those competing claims. So, as I say, reading through these reports yourself with a highlighter pen, and just, even if you do a hop, skip and a jump, you can come out with some language, some vocabulary, some ideas, some insights, some thoughts from the language used in these reports to help inform your own approach around what you think about this issue, and any ideas to trigger any ideas and wider approach, if you like, to your own development in making a meaningful contribution to this to help the force get better in terms of supporting everybody. Some of the key findings now, just have a quick look at some of the key findings that we found: inconsistency across Scotland in the level of resource, human and financial, dedicated to support officer and staff well-being. We found little evidence of a cohesive well-being strategy. And while we found a great deal of effort, well-intentioned activity and well-being initiatives, we found no evidence of a mechanism to evaluate the worth of any of these or to share best practice. Officers and staff cited organisational stressors as the primary factor they perceived as impacting negatively on their well-being. However, we found no recognition or reference to this in any of the work currently being undertaken in relation to well-being. Interviewees repeatedly cited that family, peer and line management support was critical in maintaining good well-being when experiencing life or work challenges. So I'll just stress that one again. Interviewees repeatedly cited that family, peer and line management support was critical in maintaining good well-being when experiencing life or work challenges. So that really jumped out at me, and I highlighted that in a highlighter pen because it links so strongly to the role, to the expectations and to what people should have a right to expect when they come in to work in a policing station, in a police environment with their colleagues, and to have that broader support so that when they need the support, they can tap into it and it's there for them. It's provided financially in terms of time off, in terms of support, counselling programmes, etc. And the previous case around good practice, sharing good practice. I mean, you know, this is the 21st century and sharing good practice within policing is still a challenge. So, you know, I know the College of Policing have got, you know, good practice initiatives and resources and banks or toolkits, you name it, they've got it. You would think that the collaboration between forces would have a joint resource that's available that people can draw on, that forces can draw on, and that they can collaborate in using their budgets on something so stunningly simple in one respect as providing well-being to the officers and staff that work for the organisation. Another point in here, we heard mixed views, so this is in the key findings, we heard mixed views on the extent to which officers and staff felt that well-being was an organisational priority. While many considered that the organisational commitment to well-being had improved, many felt it was simply paid lip service to. So that is a quick run through that report. As I say, I found it interesting, to say the least. Beggars belief in some respects, but clearly there's a lot of work to do. And if you are someone who aspires to promotion, then there were some recommendations in that report. And I particularly found the background section of this HMIC report interesting, because it alludes to and quotes and cites lots of work that has gone on in Police Scotland aligned to and attuned to well-being, or around the topic of well-being. And that last comment around it being lip service would appear to be accurate, because there's clearly been some of the right words said, there's clearly been some of the right intentions, and there have clearly been some nice strategies that have been set out and laid out. But whether they've been funded, supported, or coordinated remains some of the questions. But to come back to this, to finish it really, what I would say is that yes, all the right words and strategies have been there previously, but we are where we are, and this report says where things are, and the recommendations, and there were seven of them that it concludes with, were recommendation one, that Police Scotland should develop a wellbeing plan that has appropriate governance, structure and activity, reflecting the people strategy and delivered equitably across the organisation. Recommendation two is that Police Scotland should implement effective actions to understand and address organisational stressors, including those caused by perceived unfairness in application of process and procedures. Recommendation three is that Police Scotland should demonstrate flexibility in the deployment of resources across the entire organisation to reduce the impact of low resourcing levels on the well-being of frontline officers and staff. Recommendation four, Police Scotland should ensure its estate strategy promotes parity and ensures an appropriate standard of facilities are provided across its estate. Recommendation five, Police Scotland should conduct wellbeing impact assessments when developing new and existing strategies, policies and procedures. And recommendation six, Police Scotland should ensure that wellbeing training is provided to all line managers to ensure a supportive, proactive and preventative approach. Existing training should be reviewed and amended to reflect the new people strategy. And finally, recommendation seven, Police Scotland should promote a culture and embed a process of carrying out and evidencing frequent conversations with line managers, which includes a discussion on well-being. So some pretty solid recommendations there, some hope and optimism for the future. You know, reading through this report, you may reflect on it and think, well, are things really that bad? And on occasion, you can see through some of that evidence, yes, it is. But if you're listening to this, you will be the new generation. If you're aspiring promotion candidate, you are the generation, the next 5, 10, 15 years, that will make some meaningful impact on this, supported by implementation of those recommendations, supported by your own thinking and ideas, and as I alluded to earlier, your energy, drive, enthusiasm, determination, and, you know, caring, genuine caring about people, and especially those on your team and those you work with, because that's part of the culture. That's what we mean when we mean creating an environment which is supportive. And if you are aspiring to a leadership position, that's where you need to enter this debate, and to decide for yourself how you're going to do that, how you're going to work and link in and network with other people, so that the collective efforts of the organisation, with you there as well, are brought to bear on changing this for everyone and supporting your colleagues to deliver that service to the public, whichever rank or whichever position you're serving in within policing. I hope you found this helpful. My dulcet Brummie tones cutting through it. It's not a structured review of the report. You can read the report for that yourself. I just wanted to draw out some of the themes and topics in it and bring them back to the subject of promotion and you aspiring to a leadership position as a formal role as a sergeant inspector or chief inspector. I will be back with another podcast in due course. Don't forget, you can download a digital bespoke toolkit for sergeant, inspector, chief inspector. You can download a promotion masterclass and you can listen to blogs, podcasts and look at my YouTube videos. Until next time, I wish you all the best. Take care and stay safe. If you made it this far, thanks for listening and I hope you found that helpful. Let me know your views in the podcast details and Q&A section or by tweeting me or Xing me as it is at @rank_success. If you or a colleague have something interesting to contribute on policing, promotion and or leadership, by all means, please get in touch. I'm always happy to share my platform to promote a diverse range of perspectives in policing whilst creating informative content for you. If you like this podcast, please consider becoming a subscriber. Not only will you be helping to ensure I can continue creating free content for everyone, but for just $4.99 a month, you'll also get a load of great stuff on top. This no-hassle, cancel-anytime offer provides extra subscriber-only episodes, priority access to all new episodes and access to the best of my back catalogue. Should you want to go further and hit the ground running, you'll also receive an exclusive 25% discount on my market-leading structured promotion materials to help focus your effort. If you want in-person support, check out my website for upcoming masterclass dates. I only do a few a year, but they're action-packed with targeted support. You'll leave with great clarity on your force promotion process and with all the tools you need for success. Attendees most often describe the day as inspiring, informative, and motivating. Others have said it cuts through the fear of fog, confusion, and nerves, and one went so far as to say, it's the best money I ever spent on my own promotion development. Gave me the right frame of mind and motivation to succeed, second to none. So all the best in your career aspirations. You can see a suite of support on my website at ranksuccess.co.uk, plus my popular free blogs at policepromotion.blog. Until next time, take care and stay safe.